All right, here we go. We are back for another episode of the Construction Mentor Podcast. My name is Ike. I am your host. You can always follow me on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. Getting a little tongue-tied today. Probably because I'm flustered because I have a three-week-old daughter and a two-year-old sleeping in the other room. And it's thundering and lightning out and all hell's breaking loose. And my HVAC went down this week twice. Fortunately, I'm a licensed HVAC contractor and I can figure out how to fix it. I have another contractor on here today. His name is Will Betances. He is the founder and CEO of Energize Us, EDU. What does that mean? That means that Will has taken his talents and turned it into serving his passion, his purpose, which is helping other people get educated. And that's what we are here to do on this podcast. Again, this is the Construction Mentor Podcast. You can get it on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts at the Construction Mentor Podcast. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to educate. We're here to let people know that there's opportunities in construction, whether it's in the field, in the office, as an entrepreneur, and the sky's the limit. If you're already in the industry and you don't know where to go, you feel like you have a glass ceiling on you. I just had a post go viral the other day. Everybody seems to think that there is a glass ceiling and that you are stuck and that there's no room for growth. Couldn't be further from the truth. And Will is the right guy to talk about that. So Will, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, brother, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure, truly. It's a long time coming.
It has been a long time coming. So Will and I have been talking for quite a bit, quite a long time anyway, and we just haven't been able to line up. We both are guys who love this purpose, you know, and being here and being on podcasts and creating platforms to help people. And it's just so much more impactful in person, and we just haven't been able to do it, haven't been able to align, even though this poor electrician is able to spend so much time in Miami and other cool places. And my stupid general contractor self is always flying around, even in the New York and Connecticut area, which is where Will's from. We just haven't been able to line up our busy travel schedules. So it's good to have you here.
Thank you, brother. It's a pleasure.
So you're from what part of the country? You're from Connecticut, right?
Correct.
Down towards New York City.
Exactly. So born and raised in Queens. When I got married, we moved up to Connecticut together.
Okay. So born and raised in Queens in the city.
Correct. Yeah.
And what was life like? So today, you know, Will owns his own business. So why don't you just say what you own, what you're running, and then let's take a step back to what little Will was like in running around Queens.
Little Willie. No, I appreciate that. So born and raised in Queens, that's where everything started. But currently right now in Connecticut, I am owner of Energize Us. That's an electrical contracting company. I'm established in Connecticut. We do work in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, down to Jersey and upstate New York. So we have an electrical contracting company where we primarily focus on solar electrical service calls, as well as solar service now. And we have a few contracts between DOE, that's the Department of Energy, not Education. Mm-hmm. And we're also license holders for a few other companies out here where we're doing their training, quality assurance, making sure everything's on the up and up.
What other needs in the community are you able to address with Energize Us, maybe EDU?
So with Energize Us, my electrical contracting company, as well as everybody during COVID, there was a need for more workers. We needed more individuals to take on the workload that we were getting. But it all seemed to everybody scream to say the same thing. There was not enough good help out there. There was not enough workers. But then if you took a deeper dive into the issue, so many people wanted employees who were 5, 6, 7s, like the post I did recently.
Yep. Yep.
So many people want, no, I want somebody who's been in the field 2 years. Mm. There's so many limited people who's already have his experience.
Chicken or the egg. Yeah. Chicken or the egg. It's like, how do you get the experience if you never had it? Like, where's
exactly
bridge the gap for me?
Exactly. So that was the issue. So what was the issue in the trades, or specifically in the solar industry? You saw guys doing, hey, sign-on bonus, $2,000. Ridiculous. So what did that incentivize? Just like they incentivize some people to stay home, they're incentivizing hopping around. Yeah. And the ones who are hopping around were in caliber guys also, if you notice that. Yeah, even if you
character.
Were...
They don't have character.
Exactly. Even right. If you were, I would say, like a crappy electrician, you stayed busy during COVID. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have work and you were actively applying for jobs, I think there was something wrong there in the formula. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So during COVID, that's why I opened my eyes. We need help. there's not enough help out there. And the people who are looking for help or looking for work, they weren't the best of the best. So you're just incentivizing poor behavior. You're looking for people and you're going through this endless cycle. And when I look at systems, when I look at business, I'm like, what can I do to remove all this other outside noise? Mm-hmm. How can I simplify everything?
Sure.
And then that's when I started reading books on leadership. Lincoln on Leadership, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, so many different books, and all of them, great leaders, built leaders. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's individuals who come into your life that they can help you push a message. For the most part, it's leading individuals. And then on top of that, you want to go to the next level. You want to be leaders amongst leaders. There's different scales to this thing. So that's where it all came to. Like, hey, instead of undoing the work that these guys or work habits that these guys have for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 years, why don't I just create the next generation of leaders with the school? So that's where Energize Us EDU came from. And then basically it became, in the beginning, a selfish approach. I just wanted to create my own ecosystem. So if I had a new hire, an apprentice at school, goes to school, graduates, I hire him. If I have a guy in my field who got injured or is too old and doesn't want to keep up working, I can now send him because I already trained him. He has the work ethic. Now he can become an instructor. So basically create an ecosystem. But then another part of the book of leadership is, and that's where it comes to me now documenting my story, is a lot of individuals get to a point where if something's working, it's not about bragging about the accomplishments you're making, but it's showing people, like you mentioned, that there's other options out there that people don't even know about. So I'm like, hey, if I can make this own ecosystem work for myself, why don't I replicate it and give you guys the opportunity to do the same? That's the origin story of Energize Us EDU.
And so the awesome thing about that, leadership is the word, right? And I think that we need more leaders in the industry, number one, because we have a culture problem that, you know, I post about pretty frequently. But I also think that we need leaders so that people outside the industry see that those people are there, right?
And capable,
right? And it's funny because I got Lincoln right there, a book on leadership, Churchill, Speak Like Churchill, Stand Like Lincoln, right? So it's something that I'm always focused on. And the mark of any true leader is how much you lift other people up and inspire others to be better, right? I think that's Kobe Bryant said something like that. So that's amazing that you're doing that, but it's really important for people to understand that there's people out there. Now, are there people out there that are just squeezing people for labor and, you know, they want to pay them to stink, not think?
Correct.
Sure. Right. But if you're in that situation, then you're in the wrong situation, right? And you need mentorship. You need help to find a will, to find an Energize Us EDU. And it's funny that you say that you basically started your own farm system, right? I say farm system in the sense of like baseball teams and their farm system, right? Yep. Growing talent and bringing it up into the major leagues. One of the things that I've spoken to with trade schools, people that I've had on this podcast, they have a lot of people that go to the school and either take courses or act as instructors, not necessarily out of the goodness of their own heart, but because they're trying to find talent. And what better way to do it than to be physically in the classroom with young people coming up, get the right mindset, get the right, willingness to learn, passion for what they're doing. Exactly. So that's awesome that you've tapped into that. And I gotta be honest with you. I watch Will's content. I'm aware of what he's got going on, and he's kind of making me think that maybe I'm doing the wrong thing right now. I'm an entrepreneur at a $10 billion a year GC, but I do have my HVAC license. I could, become like HVAC EDU. I don't know what that would be. Maybe like blow up EDU or something like that. Something to do with airflow, right?
I love it. No, and that's what we need. We just need more of people thinking. It all starts with thinking. Hey, what's the possibilities out there? And like you said, the trades for the last few years, especially with your last post, it was a limiting belief. Remember, the four things, if you came into the trades, you're either going to be just an employee, either union, non-union, that doesn't matter. You're either an employee, you were going to become a contractor, you're going to become an educator, or a building official, an inspector.
That's it.
Those were your four options. I'm saying, nah, Let's just create our own new one now. Let's just go out there and be a traveling guy. Let's just go out there and be another Mike Rowe. He already paved the way. Now we're just going to do it up 2024 style. You know,
so, we need younger Mike Rowe's too. I love Mike Rowe. Great guy. Yeah. Never met him. Right. But I've been fun. Well, you know, I've seen him on TV for 20 years, whatever it is. Yep. Mike Rowe's getting old. Okay. Mike Rowe's a grandpa. There is some distance. He was my age when I was born. So, there's a gap between him and the younger generation. No offense. No knock to Mike Rowe.
Yeah, exactly. With all respect.
Yeah. You got to bridge the gap. Right.
Yep. And that's what I was saying too, especially, and what I appreciate about you, especially on the platforms of social media and especially Instagram. What I love about you is the fact that you're going out there, the fact that you're reaching out to the younger generation. And there is individuals who are also, yes, like trying to bring awareness back to the trades, like on LinkedIn. Yeah. And I'm getting in like a little, I wouldn't say an argument, but now a barking match, because I'm like, the younger generation is not using LinkedIn. You can't bridge the gap through LinkedIn. So are you trying to bridge the gap with the youth, or are you just trying to beef up your resume so it looks like you're doing?
Ooh,
yeah. That's good. LinkedIn is getting kind of heated lately. I'm getting messages from people I never heard about before. And what that's I know
good,
is,
listen, it's a good point.
Hey, and it's like, and I'm not trying to bash, but at the, well, that part was bashing. Yes. That was the bashing part. But the discussion I wanted to make was, hey, could we talk about this? Could we talk about how there's no youth really on LinkedIn, and yet you don't have a profile on Instagram where the youth are? Right. And then you're saying we got to bring awareness to the trades. We got to attack and go to them. But you're not doing that. So right now we know what type of people are on LinkedIn. We're looking at C-level executives and higher ups to go, oh, that's a nice guy. That's nice. You're saying all the right things, but where's the action to it? So that's why I appreciate about you, Leah, a whole bunch of you guys who are actually showing it on the social media side of things, because that's directly where they're spending most of their time.
And you as well. And what's the handle exactly? I mean, I know it when I look at my phone, but I don't know it by heart. What's your handle so people can follow you?
On Instagram? So it's Energize_us. That's our electrical contracting company. Our EDU is Energize_us_EDU.
Yeah. Pretty simple to follow. So make sure you go follow him. He's always putting out quality content and business content too, right? On how to basically start your own business. So what is your contracting? Do you mind sharing what your revenue has been like?
So for the last 2 years, we've been between 2 to 4 mil.
And how old are you?
I just turned 31.
Okay. So young people, please understand what we're talking about here. All right. I don't care if you went to college. If you want to go to college, go to college. Whatever you do, you got to pick up a skill, right? There is no reason that you couldn't start a business, and by the time you're 30, 31 years old, be doing 2, 3, 4 million in revenue. And this is Will's just getting started, right?
And to be honest, when I tell everybody, I feel like I'm at 60% only capacity. There's so many opportunities where, you know, just being a family man, where I go to bed and I'm like, if I could have done XYZ, it would have been game over. But there's moments where you sacrifice, hey, this, because there's priorities or moments that come up. So when I tell people I accidentally came upon this, you know, just being consistent, but at 60%, this is what I'm operating at. I'm sure there's individuals out there who have a drive way more than me, and there's nothing stopping them. There's nothing stopping them.
And did you go to college?
No. I went for my apprenticeship, and then I took an associate's course, and they gave me an associate's degree from down in New York.
Okay. So, Will, growing up in Queens, what part of Queens? Good part of Queens, bad part of Queens?
Flushing Chinatown.
Chinatown?
Yeah.
Way at the end of the 7 train.
Exactly. Yep. Right after the Citi Field.
So, where the Mets play. And what's that area like? Is it affluent? Is it kind of bad? I mean, Queens and Brooklyn can kind of, you could be next to a $2 million home and then go 2 blocks away and it could get bad.
So in Flushing, there's a little town called College Point. So that's right off the Whitestone Bridge. First exit, exit 14, boom. My house was right there. First stop in the corner. Mm-hmm. And it was known as the industrial park. So it was just a lot of corporate offices building up. I think Time Warner Cable used to be out there. They had a headquarters out there. Okay. Con Edison has a plant out there. All the big unions were out there. Like sanitation was out there. MTA's headquarters was out there. So a lot of big office spaces were down there. But it was just a normal working class town, you know. My father was a bus driver. Mother was a nurse. It was just a very, very hard working town. Everyone's just in the blue collar field in different capacities.
So it's not like a Bronx tale. It's like a Queens tale.
Your
dad, the bus driver.
Exactly. Yep.
But you're not Italian, though. You're what? Portuguese or Cape Verdean?
No. My father's Dominican. Mother's Puerto Rican, Brazilian.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. All right. You definitely got a good cinnamon thing going on here. Will's, if you're listening on audio, he's got thick dark hair, dark beard, and some good tan skin. So good for him. Good genes. Now, what was life like in high school? Like, were you always going to go into the trades? Did you just not think you wanted to go to college? And were your parents trying to push you one way or another?
So what I appreciate about growing up, and that's so funny because I just did my first long form video last night for YouTube, and I literally talked about this. So it's hilarious. So growing up in Queens, we had to, I don't know if it's like that was en masse or in other parts of the country where you had to apply for a high school. So in New York City, you have to apply to go high. So as a junior high school, you get a book with all the schools in all five boroughs. And it tells you the requirements to get into each school. Hey, you need this GPA, and then you had to apply your top five schools that you want to go to. And then it was like a raffle. You had to compete with everybody else in New York City.
Right.
So at the time, if you didn't apply for a school, you just went to your normal zone school, which is just, you know, the one two blocks away from everybody.
Right.
So at the time, like any other teenager, all my friends were like, I don't give a damn. I'm just going to go to my zone school. Just go to my zone school. So I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to my zone school then. Mm-hmm. And so my parents, not so much, but it was my parents' friends who were all in the union. They were like, yo, what school are you going to? And I was like, I didn't choose. I'm just going to my zone school. And they're like, what? And then they took my application and they ripped it up because I clicked zone. Like basically don't even try to apply to a school. And they ripped it up and they applied for me. They took me to school. They filled out the application for me and submitted. And they said, no, all of us went to this one school, Thomas Edison High School. It's in Jamaica, Queens. And it was like one of the few vocational high schools.
Gotcha.
And like, so you went through school and then you stayed another 2 hours and you did your shop class. So you graduated with your diploma and then you also graduated with your certification of whatever trade you picked. So I took electrical.
So you were a certified electrician coming out of high school and then you went in the union? Is that it?
Correct. Well, not the union then. I went into the union after a few years.
Okay. So you then picked up work with a local contractor?
Exactly.
And how'd you do that? Like, how does somebody, whether they have experience and maybe they don't have experience, coming out of school, of OTEC, or like I said, no experience, what's your recommendation for them? How do you go find a job if you want to be an electrician?
A lot of the schools offer work placement. I haven't met a vocational school that doesn't offer work placement. That's usually when you're picking a school, their selling point. Hey, we guaranteed work placement within 60 days of graduation.
It's kind of the whole point of education.
Yeah, exactly. They actually, college doesn't do that. They don't say we guarantee you a job, you know, but both schools definitely, one of their number one selling points is, hey, we can guarantee you work placement. But the ultimate hack, I tell everybody, if you are reasonably at any level just considering a trade school, to go to a vocational high school, bro. I'm telling people, that's my message right now. Yes, you can skip college and then go into a voc school, but you're basically, the timing's the same. At 18, 19, 20, 21, your 4 years of college, you're spending it at a voc school. Yes, you're going to get a trade. Yes, you're not in debt. But if you go to a vocational high school, you're 4 years ahead of the curve, baby.
You're another 4 years ahead of the curve, which is opportunity cost. It's all kinds of stuff. I just had my episode that's up right now from last week. The Carpenters Union in Connecticut is taking kids at 17 before they even graduate.
And amazing that is, because think about that. 4 years. So yes, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yes, you're working, you're earning while you learn. Awesome. But think about it. You have to stop work to go take your school at 6 p.m., correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was 18 with schooling done. I had guys in my shop with me stopping work. I was getting all the overtime because they had to go to school. So not only am I already working, I was racking up overtime. These guys were barely getting their 40 because they had to stop for school. So these guys on average were getting like 32, 36 hours a week. I already had 40 plus my overtime. And then when they finished their schooling and they were now applying to become journeymen, I already had my journeyman card 2 years in.
Yeah, right. Before you were,
you're expediting the entire process, bro. That's the ultimate hack. If you don't know what you're doing and you just had someone to push you, vocational high school is the way to go. Oh, man.
Now, listen, if you're older and you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, there's trade schools that you can go to at night. And it's, I highly recommend it. It is a great path. If you want to transition in, it's never too late. You have owners like Will sitting here right now telling you that if you get the right mindset, you don't even need the skill set. You just need the right mentality. You know, he'd take you, he'd teach you, he'd coach you and make you your own self-sufficient journeyman. On the flip side of that, what Will just described is true, not only for people in the trades or in the subcontracting world, but people like myself. I have been so successful, ahead of the curve, always made more money than my contemporaries. People, what does that mean? People my own age, right? Because when I was 14, I was working at a sheet metal shop, right? I was sweeping the floor. I was unloading trucks, which turned into driving a van to go into the supply house to get, you know, valves and pipe dope and whatever was on the stock list. Then I was in the office and I was drafting sheet metal for high rises in Boston when I was 15, right? I was doing submittals, which is what that's anytime you buy an electrician buys something or an HVAC person buys something to install on a job, they have to get the engineer or architect approval, right? Because you can't just buy anything. It has to fit the design and it has to fit the aesthetics, the way it looks, right? And you got to get all that approved, right? So all of the things that I just described, like Will said, if it was some of the laborious stuff or laborious, I butcher that word, I don't know why, but you know, a lot of people don't get that experience until they're 18 or until, you know, I had it at 14. A lot of the office stuff, design, calculations, the paperwork, physically going to a store and picking stuff up on a stock list and just holding it in my hand and looking at it. I mean, I know people in their 30s that don't have that experience, but the submittals and the drafting and the CAD, a lot of people don't get that until they graduate college, right? They're 23, 24 years old. And when I tell people I've been in the industry for 20 years and they're like, okay, yeah, I was on job sites with my dad when I was 5 too. I'm like, dude, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I was doing real shit at 14 years old. Right. And now I'm 33 and I am compensated accordingly.
Yep. You need it. You need it. And it's just a differentiating factor. It's like anything else. Oof. That exposure. Yeah. That's another big thing. Just life. I think a big aspect of life is opportunities. I feel like, of course, it doesn't always happen, but something that always sticks to my mind is I'm the type where I wish I was always given an opportunity to prove myself, you know? And then at that point, it's you against yourself. Did you drop the opportunity or did you take a full advantage of it? Because I do believe a lot of people with the opportunity they get and they get to see where they can take something or get the chance to do something, everyone's going to run with it. So I love that because you can be also the 14-year-old kid who's trying to get high and, you know, in the porta potty on a job site so it doesn't work. You know what I mean?
I had friends that did that too.
Yeah, right? Bro. Come on.
And you know, even just showing up with the right mentality of like, I had good mentors, right? And I have 5 people that I have written down somewhere. But I do look at it every once in a while and I think about the things that they taught me. Like when I was 14, I knew how to dress on a job site, right? No gym shorts, no sneakers. Okay. I knew to have, you know, my phone, not have my phone out. I knew every time I walked from point A to point B to have something in my hands, right? Yeah. To every single move you make be intentional with that move, right?
Yep,
to create a perception that I was somebody that wanted to be worthy of mentorship.
Or if you had nothing to do, grab a broom.
Grab a broom.
Yeah.
Right. I can't tell you how much blisters on my hands from 40 straight hours one week. I swept the sheet metal shop because it was raining outside.
Yeah.
And they had nothing else for me to do. Right. It's stuff like that that you pick up just by being around people. And the earlier that you get that perception, and you hear the jargon and the lingo and you understand how people interact and you feel people's pain points and how to appeal to them, you can do that. Now for you, what I'm curious to hear before you, because you said you're able to be self-reliant and challenge yourself and rely on yourself and rely on nobody else, but there's a lead up to that, right? So you were 18, you were a journeyman. And what was that like? Like, were you trying to shine to impress your boss, to become a foreman, to become a project manager? What was the path like, or your goal and how you were acting up until the point where you said, you know what, I'm doing this on my own?
So at 18, I did fall into the mindset where, and this is another one, I want to hear your take on it, especially in New York City, as you know, with the licensing requirements and everything in the Northeast, how they're very strict. Mm-hmm. So when I was in school, 14, 15, 16, what our instructor was saying, get your license, get your license, get your license, right? Everyone's handing license. And then the reality, just like you said, when you get to meet other people, see how they interact, how they think, that negative side hit me. That, in the sense where when I was working and I was like, yeah, I can't wait to get my license. And everyone would say, why are you, once again, just like when I was 14 and I just want to follow the crowd and go into the work, just regular zone school, 18, why would you get your license? It's too difficult. You're not going to pass anyway. And that was almost like the trend in New York City. It's like, don't go for your license. Like, it's too difficult. Like, genuinely, every company you would go to, people say the same thing. And I remember, once again, when I met up with the buddies who ripped up my application at first, they were like, bro, 2 more years, you can get your license, bro? And then I was like, nah, it's too difficult. They're like, whoa, my bad. Sorry, you took the test? And I was like, no, everyone just saying so. So they were like, what? Like, dude, like, we just talked to you 4 years ago. Why are you still listening to people? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I fell into that routine where it was like, oh, it's too difficult. Don't even try, based off of someone else's experience. Or they didn't even try. They just didn't want to try. And they're just trying to let nobody else get ahead of them.
Yeah. Listen, there's a couple things with that. You know, like, I just had a post that went viral a couple of weeks ago, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago now. And the young man, electrician, looked like he was from New York. if New York has a look, right?
Right.
He's complaining about people in the industry, right? And where they are in their life and how they, you know, how they're miserable. Doesn't have to be you, number one. Number two, as far as like getting your license or anything like that, or getting an education and a skill set, there are education. So I had a pipe fitter on this podcast, episode 22 or 23. He's a union pipe fitter in Orlando. Okay. And he hadn't gotten his license yet. And I was like, well, why, you know, after the podcast got off, I was like, dude, why haven't you gotten your license yet? Like, what are you doing? And he's like, I don't even know. Like, where would I even go? Like, he just literally like didn't know what path to take. There are schools in every single state. In Massachusetts, it's called massnailit.com. In Florida, it's called CamTech. There are these people that will teach you not necessarily the trade, but how to pass the test. Yep. Right. They have like a 90% pass rates. If you go to these schools and you find them outside of your vocational education and your apprenticeship and all these things, right? Sometimes you just got to learn how to pass the test.
Yep.
If you go to these places and you just take the course and suck it up for like 4 weeks, yep, you get like a 90% pass rate. Like, you have to try to fail. The 10% that don't, the 10% that don't pass are the people that didn't follow the instructions. Right. Just, and I said to the pipe fitter on the podcast, his name's Fitter Bowen, F-I-T-T-E-R. _ Bowen, B-O-W-E-N. Awesome welding content, pipe welding in Florida. And he just passed. He just got his license, unrestricted mechanical contractor in Florida. Now he can do anything he wants, right?
There you go.
But he called me right after, before he even called his wife, I think. And maybe he lied to me, but that's what he told me to make me feel good. He's like, dude, I never would have even known to do that. And that was the hardest test I've ever taken in my life. And I passed it. And I never even would have known to do that had you not even just told me what that school was.
You think?
Right? Yeah. Like, don't listen to the negative people. They're full of shit. They have no idea what they're talking about. That's the lesson.
Literally. And then you're just, once again, goes back to what you said before, a limiting belief. This is all the trades have to offer. Oh, don't even bother taking an exam because it's too hard. There's people will not even apply just because they're like, ah, so-and-so said it was too difficult. Like, that blows my mind. And then when I went in to take the test, I just won it. Because I'm the type of guy where if I go for an exam, I go in not trying to fail, but I go in just to gauge. Because like you said, just to pass the test, the test itself has its own language. You know what I mean? It's like a person. You got to feel the person out. I'll go in. Sometimes I pay just to go see, like, what's up? And then I'll be like, oh, and I'll take it. And then when I took it, I got a 69 out of 70, bro. I needed one more point to pass. And I'm like, that's winging it. I'm like, oh, no. It's almost like embarrassing when you say it out loud, you know? But yeah, there's people putting that limiting belief on themselves based off of someone else who didn't even try. That's insane. That's insane.
And again, let's just point this out. Will grew up in the city, father a bus driver, mother a nurse. Not exactly what you would call an above average or super affluent family, right? I'm sure he had a good home life with good parents and all those things. But he didn't come from money, right?
Nope.
And by 31 years old, he's built a business that's rendered $4 million of revenue in a year, right? Without going to college. And he's done so. I'm just going to point it out. Will's a minority, right? Like, he doesn't have the same skin that I have. Like, that's another thing that I hear about. And I've had a Hispanic woman on here who's doing, I think, $7 million a year in revenue with her construction business. And, you know, I've had other people on, right? Whatever picture is being painted in your mind, just red flag. If it's negative, they either have a bad intention, they have bad information, or they are their own worst enemy.
Exactly.
And go somewhere and seek different mentorship. So you got your license. You ended up being convinced to get your license. And then how long were you working for other people? Were you climbing the ladder? And then at what point were you like, you know, screw this, I'm doing Will Electrical?
So at that point, that's when I got my journeyman license. That's when I got accepted into the union. So then I was working in the union.
Oh, and Will, I'm sorry. Yeah. 18 years old. Before we get too far away from it.
Yeah.
How much money were you making out of vocational school?
Out of school, $8.75 an hour.
$9 an hour at 18 years old. And then what was it like from there? Were you getting raises and stuff?
Every 6 months, I got like $1.50.
Okay. That was non-union, though.
That was non-union, correct.
Non-union. Correct. Okay.
And then after 2 years, I was already at like 20. It was pretty quick. Pretty quick when I got to 20. Once I got my journeyman, I asked for a raise. They said no. Then I just got into the union right there. So I was like, perfect. So I jumped into the union. I didn't need to take the apprenticeship with the union because I already had my journeyman card. So they bypassed me and then gave me straight journeyman rate, which was like $32 an hour. So I got more than I ever wanted. But real quick, once I got into the union, because now I had my journeyman card. So in 2 more years, now I can get my master's. So I'm all on the high of, hey, I'm approved myself. Now I'm gonna work, because I knew the skills that I was going to learn was directly going to help me in my own business.
Right.
So I was like always shadowing the foreman. I was always like, why would you do that? Why would you do this? I was always studying, and to the point where my foreman came up to me, our union rep, and he said, you don't belong here. You're too smart. And he's like, yeah, he goes, this is for people usually who are complacent. And that's my union guy telling me that. He goes, that's the sad reality. That's the sad reality. And then one day I was like studying, and then fast forward 2 years, I'm now studying for my master's exam. I'm in the lunchroom. Someone grabs my code book and throws it on the floor, just like a high school bully. And he was like, what, you think you're better than me? I was like, you know, then that happens, you know, just New York City talk, you know, happens. The next day I'm going to the lunchroom now, you know, just like minding my own business, but I don't have my code book. And my union rep walks by and he goes, you go back into your locker and you grab that book and you walk up in there and slam that shit on the table.
Good for you. And good so for him. Like, we all need that.
I just didn't think about it. You know, I'm just like, it's water under the bridge. He's like, no. You go back, you grab that book, and you walk up in there and you let people know you go and study again. So it was hilarious. So, and our foreman at the time, hilarious, old gentleman. We called him Mr. Smooth because he was like, he always walked with swag. And he was just like this older guy. But he was also like my biggest hype man. So like he would do stuff just to hype it up. So like when I came in, I usually had lunch with him too. So I came in and I got my book and I like threw it on the table. And he was like, oh, like to cause a scene.
Yeah.
So he was like, yo, man, what you doing? Just to like shut the other guys up. But this dude was hilarious. And he said, don't ever let anyone try to punk you because you're studying for your license. Yeah. He's like, get that. He was so passionate about that. And then
there will be more devils out there than hype people, right? Oof, you got to be cautious about that going forward. You got to surround yourself with the hype people, the people that want to see you do better for no benefit to themselves and that are trying to make themselves better, right? If you have people that are negative or people trying to beat you down or trying to make you feel like, you're leaving your past behind you and you forget where you came from or you're better than everybody, that's the devil trying to come to you to tear you down. You gotta acknowledge that. You don't have to be rude. You could be diplomatic, be mature, and just move past it and concentrate on Mr. Smooth hyping you up, trying to make yourself better. That's where you want to be.
And it was funny because I passed my exam. I got my license. I worked. And I always tell everybody, once you get that license, that's a dangerous drug. Mm-hmm. Because now any employer is like, hey, let's do XYZ. And I'm like, do I really wanna? Or, hey, let's do it like this. And you're like, oh, I would do it this way. That becomes very contagious in your head. And you're like, well, at the end of the day, you're still here. So you can't do nothing about it. Are you going to prove it? So go open up your own business. Go try it out. And the day Mr. Perry, so that's Mr. Smooth. Mm-hmm. The day I told him, I'm like, hey, I'm going to put my 2 weeks in. He goes, F it. If you put your 2 weeks in, I'm going to retire myself. I ain't going to work here. He goes, you're the only reason why I stuck around.
Wow.
Yeah. The day I put in my 2 weeks note and Mr. Perry came in with me, we had the same last day.
Wow. That's incredible.
And he's like, all right. He goes, I got, there's no more hope out here for me. I'm good. Well, this was the second pension also, dude. He's a military vet, all that. You know, he was doing this just to kill some time. You know,
and he could never, like my father, he, 40 years in the Pipefitters Union, you can't pick up your tools after that. Otherwise you lose that pension. Yeah. But that's incredible. I mean, that speaks again to just the mentorship that's available. There are people out there that are not looking to beat people down or stand on people's backs for a profit. There are people out there that are looking to serve other people and help. Yeah. So that's incredible that you had that. So at what age did you do that? When did you make the jump to start your own business?
I was 26 when I opened up shop.
26. Wow. And how'd you go get that first job? I mean, was it houses? Were you bidding public work? What'd you do to feed yourself?
So my first, I was just doing service electrical. Mm-hmm. First, as everybody, it's usually family referrals on Facebook. You know, you're just looking to spread your name out there. Then I got very fortunate. I met a guy at Home Depot and he was, he did cell sites, cell towers,
mm-hmm.
and he did the T-Mobile, Verizon, but the service upgrades for them.
Yep.
So he would just go to the cell sites and that was actually my first contract.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I were one guy. You didn't have a crew. You were just,
dude, it was pretty wild. And the first year, of course, when you come into business, you're just thinking, all right, I don't want to make less than my job that I left.
Yeah.
So you hit the minimum. That's what's the beauty also about America. You know, it's an open market. That's how you can be competitive. You know, how does somebody new compete with somebody who's already been established? You know, it's pricing, but also at the same time, it's like you want a name for yourself. So it's like you're going to be hungrier than the other person who can be complacent at this point.
Hunger matters. That's a huge appeal for a GC when you see a new person on the market, like down in Florida, where the demand is so high. A lot of the time the subs don't care. You know what I mean? They kind of lost that customer service feel. And when you get a new guy on the block, that's like, dude, I will go above and beyond for you because I need you and I need the resume. You know, that there's appeal in that. And what I really love is that you got that by hanging out. I'm sure you weren't just hanging out, but you were at a Home Depot. But what I like to highlight for people is go to industry events, network, hang out at the supply shop, right? Like who's doing what, who needs what. Word of mouth is the best way, right? All the stuff that we do on social media and everything, it's all good, but it's all to generate word of mouth, right? It's all to generate a perception. So, and the only way to do that is to put yourself out there, shine that light, right? So people can see you. So that's awesome. So what was your first contract worth?
I think it was a 4-hour job and I made 25K.
Say that. Okay. So your first contract as Energize Us EDU. So your first contract when you started your own business was a 4-hour job and you made $25,000.
Yeah. Yeah. With and material, I think it was $2,000. Wow. And once again, I had, like, throughout my life, as I mentioned, you notice there's key people in every aspect of my life. This guy was an awesome dude. He would be like, hey, give me a bid for this. And I think I bid it for like $4,000. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I submitted it in an email and I knew something was up when he called me. He's like, bro, what are we doing? I was like, no, the material's this. I marked it up a little and I got my after hourly profit. You know, I'll be happy with this. He goes, I respect you for that. I'm going to help you to show how to write up an estimate now.
You gotta learn how to serve it up.
Yeah. So he taught me that, but they're still one of our biggest clients right now.
Now, you know, not every job's a home run. I had a HVAC guy, my host yesterday, we were just talking and, you know, refrigerant, the average markup on refrigerant is 10,000%. I'm sorry. No, 1,000%. It's a 10 times markup. Right. So when you go, right. So, and that's just the material, right? That's not the pump. Yeah,
that's not,
it's crazy. Now, how long did it take you? So young, mid-20s, you start your own business, you get that first contract. It feels real good because you just made 25 grand in four hours. How long did it actually take you to make more money than you were making as a union journeyman?
Oh, like 3 months in. 3 months and I already made my whole annual salary. Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah. No, it felt pretty good.
Man, I'm doing really good. This is why I keep telling you guys. I'm doing really well, right?
Yeah.
I told you my salary, you'd be like, damn, I want to be a GC, right? But then I just think, like, the grass is always greener and potential and what I could do with my mechanical license. And I just told you what people charge for refrigerant. And Will's over here, and I just threw a dart at the board yesterday with 8 dots at the board showing that electricians in New York make more money than Ivy League grads, right? Than more money than kids from Columbia. And Will made more than his entire salary as a union electrician in 3 months as his own contract.
Journeyman electrician in the union. Yeah. Cause we had unlimited overtime. Yeah. And that was with our overtime. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's not just the base pay. That's just what he was pulling in as an electrician, which could have been, I don't know, 125, 150, whatever it was.
I was like at 118 before they capped me and they were like, all right, no more overtime over than this much for me.
Yeah. So you made that in 3 months. So again, let me just say this real loud and clear for all the people that say that, you know, the owners are slave drivers and there's only owners and slaves and everybody else in construction is a slave and you can't make money and they don't pay you enough. Bullshit.
Yeah.
17% of Americans make $100,000. Okay. Will made that as his own electrical contractor in 3 months.
And like you said, if you're in a circumstance where that boss isn't charging you, even if you sat down and spoke with him, then that's not the right shop for you. You know, you can, there's so much within your reach and power too, that you can do, you know, so you can create that standard for you.
Right. Now, again, where do you find mentors, right? You network, you find people, somebody will as long as you have good intentions and you're serving a purpose greater than yourself, people are going to find you. Somebody taught you how to write an estimate. You had your hype man on site. you know, I've had people that have come out of their way to help me, you know, and if you really can't find anybody or you feel like you can't, that's what my platform is about. That's what Will's platform is about. Maybe those platforms become one day. I don't know. Yeah. But you know, there are places out there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Right?
So you gotta be on the lookout. Now, growth is a big question mark, right? So first of all, did you take out a loan to start the business?
The only loan, no, never took out a loan.
Just bought some t-shirts?
Not even that. Not even that. I got some nice new buttoned up Carhartt shirts before I can engraved anything, you know? And once again, it was always like, be professional. Like to this day, I lose my mind when I see like solar installers showing up on a roof with, you know, sweatpants and sneakers. I'm like, yo, like, you know, so just the fact that I had a button up Carhartt short tucked into some pressed pants. There was times where I was like, I already got the job just by going to the bid. I was like, I got this job. I didn't even have to talk. And I already knew I got it because just like the appeal, they just took, you know what I mean? If that makes sense.
No, it absolutely makes sense. I mean, again, I think it's, I forget what episode it was, maybe 12. I talked about, you know, different things that people can do, like cut your fingernails, always be clean shaven. You can have facial hair, but groom it, right?
Exactly.
When you go to present, when you go to present yourself, collared shirt, preferably tucked in, no holes in your jeans. Just picture somebody pulling up to your house, you know, with a dusty car, with a bungee cord, holding their trunk shut with all their tools in it. And they get out of the car and they look like they slept in a dumpster. And like, do you want to hire that person? No.
You see, I had the car. That was my car though. I just made sure everything else that I could, that I couldn't control the car at yet.
Yeah.
But I had to make sure everything else was spotless. Like when I came out like, boom. And then they were like, whoa, it was just so much of a contrast to them. They were like, all right, this dude's either all in or just like the biggest scam. But yeah.
So that's it's a good point. You know, you got to start somewhere, right? And people will respect that. So, I got a guy in Florida. I had him on the podcast. One of the best episodes that I've had, episode 7. And he, same thing. He rolled up with a concrete saw in a truck, in his beat up truck, and he just started bidding demo jobs. It's just, and he's doing $20 million a year now. So
there you go.
Good for him. So no debt, and then. How do you see growth? How do you see growth then? How do you see growth now? Were you recruiting from the schools? You know, were you just hiring people one-offs? Were you holding back from volume and trying to really just spread your margin, increase your margin on projects? Because I've had a lot of that on here lately. What did growth look like for you?
So for the first year, did everything myself, but then I already knew I need help. And I have a sequence of when you go to hiring. So when I wanted to replicate myself, I had to find someone in that 2, 3, 4 year age range, experience range. And I just got the best guy possible. He's still with us today. He's an amazing guy, amazing guy. And we've been through it thick and thin, ups, downs, left, right, when it comes to business. Then from there, it was now there's two of us. So now whatever I was doing just doubled. Then it came to, all right, now I needed help, but you have to take every, for the first 3 years, everything I got into the company, I just always reinvested into the company. So I had, the second I was sitting on a little bit of change, I hired a new guy, apprentice, to help him out. So now his life was easier. So now he was happy. Then it's like, boom, got vehicles, boom. I didn't see, like, and then you know me personally, I'm not loud by no means. Right. This is the last year and a half is now where I'm just recognizing, like, let me dip into some of this profit to now reinvest in other ways. So not into the company, but I'm more reinvesting into myself where I get to learn more. And that's where gold now ties with what's part of growth. It's keeping myself accountable by having these other mentors now externally. So that never stopped for me. Now I just recognize how more valuable they are. Before it was like accidentally having them in my life. Now it's no, I'm intentionally trying to keep those people around me.
Yeah,
and that's a different type of relationship now. Now it's like, no, I need, like, for example, you know, Pat, I need him close. I need his mind. I need his team so I can bounce ideas off of it. I need my accountants. I need to trust them. I don't want to stress about anything ever. I just coming into this new world where you have to learn how to manage yourself as well as manage relationships and working with other. That's another world that I'm still new in, but in the last year working with them blew my mind up. I never would have thought the skill trades would have got me to this point. And like I said the other day, this is just the beginning. Now, just like how I said, I'm only operating at 60% and this is what we're able to produce. If now what I'm applying when I'm learning from these guys, put it to both businesses because those business practices carry over. It's the same concepts, same principles. These next 2-3 years, like when I tell everybody, Energize Us EDU, our school, we're going to be a $1 billion company in 8 years. Guaranteed.
So let's talk about that real quick. So, So how many guys do you have now in your contracting business during the day?
6 guys in the field, 3 in the office.
Okay. So you got to call it a 10 person company, including yourself. Right. So in the last 5 years, you've basically been able to add 2 people a year and yep. You had a really good point. Just to summarize what you said, you needed to take on bigger jobs. So you got a qualified individual with the right mindset, somebody that you paired well with. Then your first action as a servant leader was to get them help, right? To make their life easier so that they weren't getting lost tools. In the weeds and the minutia and with crappy tools. And, you know, you were investing in them, assets and resources to help them. Correct. Right. And then you kept doing that over and over and over again until now 5 years down the road, you're doing, you know, between 2 and 4 million a year, you know, depending on whatever you got going on. And you mentioned Pat. Can I mention who Pat is?
Oh, yeah. You can mention him. Yeah.
So you get mentorship from Patrick Bet David, right? Yep. A lot of people know who he is. I got, hold on. These are good books. I started one. I haven't finished them, but these are his books right here. You got your next 5 moves and Choose Your Enemies Wisely. Patrick Bet David, Middle Eastern descent. I believe he's from Iran, but you see him all over social media right now. You know, good looking, older Iranian guy, always in a suit, you know, nice hair, very well groomed. So that is the mentor that Will has, right? And he spends a lot of time with him. What am I getting at? I'm getting at he built his company to the point where he can take mentorship to the next level, to super injector, hyper injector, whatever you want to call it, into his business, you know, the best of the best, and surround himself. When we talk about surrounding yourself with the right people and hyping you up, sometimes you need to surround yourself with people that have been there, that have done extraordinary things if you're trying to get to an extraordinary level. Now, Will, a week or two ago, whenever the Kentucky Derby was, posted a picture of a private plane, right? Will is able to do these types of things because of the resources that his electrical contracting business that he got from having a skill in the skilled trades affords him. Right. So talk about that. Like what's that been like, right? Private plane, hanging out in Miami with Patrick Bet David, you know, just a dumb electrician from Queens, you know, dumb young Hispanic kid from Queens that was too dumb to get his electrical license, that thought that he was better than everybody when he had his master's book on his table. And, you know, that took a leap of faith 5 years ago to start his own thing.
It's still a surreal moment. Like every time we do get to spend time with him, the family and I feel like unworthy, but it's like in a good way because
little imposter syndrome.
Big time, bro. Big time. And when I'm in the room with him, as you can imagine, I'm the brokest guy in the room. But it's like, I'm just like, shut up and just listen. These guys are at a frequency that I, like, you can see when there came to a point where when Pat's like in an in-depth conversation with someone and he's talking with somebody and their frequency is going, they're not finishing a sentence. Pat's like, oh, so we're going to do X, Y, Z. And the guy's like, oh, X, Y, Z, da, da, da. And Pat's like, yeah, da, 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 da. And they already can now finish. I was just bing, like, bing, bing, bing. going on? They're just that freak. I never thought when people talk about a state of mind, I never, you know, you always hear people like, oh, you got to eye a tiger. You got to be a beast. You got to. These guys at that level aren't hyping themselves up. They are just that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They don't. Yeah. They are doing that regardless of how they feel, what day it is, the weather out. These guys are just firing at all cylinders. And it also tells you what they're doing in their personal life. To the point where Pat and his whole team, his entourage that he's with, they all have their code of standards, how they operate. He doesn't dictate what these guys do, but just the frequency that they're working on. Like, for example, one of the individuals goes, I don't drink. And it's not because Pat tells me not to drink. It's because he's always like, boom, boom, boom. And I want to be able to keep up with him. I decided not to drink. So people are now putting, once again, just like, oh, that license is hard. Well, did you try it? No. Well, it just looks hard. Him, people can be like, oh, he's strict. He doesn't make... No, it's just that's, you know what I mean? He's dictating the standards of people around him. And if
do you have kids?
Yeah, three.
Yeah, you do. Okay. I thought you did. You know, same thing with drinking for me. Like it's like I hold myself to such a standard because I want to set a standard for my children. And I am so balls to the wall at work every day. And then with podcasts and then in the gym, if anybody, you know, follows me, I'm in the gym all the time and I try to post about it. And then as a father, right, if I want to keep up with all four of those balls, and the last one is being a husband, which I need to do a better job of keeping that ball in the air. But if I want to keep all those balls in the air, I got to be ready to go, right? Yeah. I used to drink like a fish 12 beers before I even left the house. I can't do it. I don't have time for it, and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not about motivation. It's about discipline, and that comes from having the right purpose, right? And that sounds like Pat's group has purpose, you know.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Coming out the nose.
When you hear his story and when he talks about it, I don't know if he has any podcasts where he talks about it, but in person, when he tells you what he's doing and where he's going, you feel it, bro. And then he's very intentional. Like what you said back in the trades, be intentional with what you do. He's very intentional with what he talks about, who he speaks to. You know, this is a year now, going on a year now. August is a year where I've been having Pat and just been to his house, been to his events, go down to Miami. Every time he has a workshop going down, we did Kentucky Derby together. We went to Mar-a-Lago with him for 3 days. Mm-hmm. It's this guy. And it's like, I'm just getting to that point now where like when he'll talk to me, he's like, huh, you're keeping up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, and he's not doing that attaboy stuff. It's just like, huh. Like, I can see where it's like, okay, you're still around. You're keeping up. You know what I mean? So I'm like at that like little moment. But of course, there's guys been with him like 5 years. Hmm. And he's like, Pat still doesn't look me in the eye. So like, you know what I mean? So it's mission. Right. It's driven. It's the quality of people that you want around him. And he's just been helping me that. And the things that I'm learning from him, I just instantly apply it. And then... And that's why I've been getting a lot from him on his team. They've been complimenting on by you move with action. You move at the speed of instruction. That's what they said. And they said, that's the type of people we need.
And what's your purpose? Do you have a defined purpose? What you're trying to serve?
So I want to help people. I had a dark path when I first got married and I did some things I shouldn't have done. And I messed up bad when it came to family life. And I was embarrassed of those things personally, that I stayed away from home and dove into my work as my escape. And then like with anything, a muscle, a habit, anything you put energy in just blows up.
Sure.
So my company blew up in those 2, 3, 4 years because I just dove into it as my escape, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does.
So I know people can learn from my experience without having to go through the crap I had to go through. And it was a lot of work on the back end stuff, as you can imagine, trying to fix everything, put everything back together, talk it through. Still a little shaky, but working on it, having good conversations, books, talking to Pat about it, having crazy conversations like Psycho Cybernetics is an amazing book about past scars, how to remove limiting beliefs from yourself, having open conversations, because that conversation, even though it's awkward now, it's going to save 3 months. And not only does it apply at home, but it applies to business, just everything. So I don't want someone has to go through the same crap I had to go through to understand what's going on. And then I don't want someone to come into the trades thinking, hey, there's only those options out there. There's a whole nother world. And this is just, as we mentioned, the tip of the iceberg. There's even more that I'm excited to see what's going to come. With the school, we want to be able to grow with our audience. We want to be, number one, just like Discovery Channel, just like Mike Rowe started, we want to just stir up interest in the trades. Then we have the school, which is going to be the meats and potatoes. Hey, get you to certify, get you to recertify your CEUs, business coaching. Business coaching is the last portion, professional development. Let's say now you have your certification, you have your license, you want to jump into your business, we can help you then. We want to grow with our audience. So basically, I want to be able to talk to myself at 14, 15, 16, guide him through his licensure, guide him through his business without him having to learn the hard way.
And you're not stopping at electrical. You're talking all skill trades.
Oh, heck yeah. We're already talking with plumbing and sprinkler fitters for next year, for 2025 curriculum now.
And listen, like he said, you know, Will could very easily just be taking this money and pocketing it and living a very affluent lifestyle with the big house, the cars, you know, all the things. All right. But he's reinvesting it in the company, not for necessarily his own benefit, but to serve a greater purpose, to provide a platform for other people. From that, more rewards will come. Right. But to be in it for the money is not how you get those rewards. What am I trying to say? Again, I can't harp it enough. There are people all over this industry that are there to serve people outside of themselves and not simply make a profit off of slave labor, which is an insult to slave labor. What it is. It's a different conversation.
That's after hours.
Yeah. Listen, I try to keep this to an hour. I have a funny feeling this won't be the last time that we do this, and I'll probably come on your podcast soon. One of these times when I come up to New York would actually be really good, and I'm going to be up there. I already have 3 trips in the next month planned. Do you have anything else that you want to, you know, close out with?
The only thing I want to keep pushing is people, you don't have to have this limiting belief. The trades have so much to offer to the point where you can even create your own niche in the trades. Never would have thought, once again, a year, 2, 3 years ago, that I would just be traveling to bring awareness when it comes to the school. Because that's one of the marketing aspects, yes. But also, it's just to leave your roots everywhere. If you're going to try to change lives, if you're trying to make a better living for yourself, you have to do something. You have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you can't base your trajectory based off someone else's limiting belief. There is no stopping anybody. Just how much movement since the first time we talked, just, you know, everything's coming to fruition because it's been 2 years now in planning. Everything that's been happening lately has just been, okay, just doing what we said we're going to do.
Right.
So that's the beautiful part about it. And the trades can give you that. The trades can give you, if you want a comfortable job, that's fine. Then go get it. If you want to open up shop, go get it. But if you want to say, hey, I want to do X, Y, Z, perfect. Well, this will allow you to do that. It will give you the tools, the resources you need to go after that.
Yeah. And almost every single person that I've had on this podcast has experienced serious success, and they're using that to serve other people in some way, whether it's now or that's in the short-term plan. So, Will, you're another great example. With that, I'm going to wrap it up. Will, I appreciate you coming on. Like we said, it was a long time coming. I'm definitely an admirer of Will's. Make sure you follow him at Energize_us for his contracting business. @Energize_us.edu for education platform. And then they can follow Will the Man too, right?
Yeah, just Will M. Betances.
Will M. Betances. WILLMBETANCES. I don't know that by heart. I just read it right off the screen. can't take credit for that. Keep an eye on Will. Will's going places, and he's going to change the game. So I appreciate you for listening to the Construction Mentor Podcast. Again, Apple, Spotify, there is a video feed on YouTube. You can always catch me on TikTok and Instagram. Just type in at the Construction Mentor. And